It's so funny, the word that I feel like the Lord wants to share with us this morning, Pastor Kurt shared in his time where he said in James, it says, God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And this morning, I just felt like the Lord really impressed on me one of the names of God. Thank you. Emmanuel. And of course, Sharon loves that name. She named one of her boys Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. That sounds so normal, but it's so powerful if we really think about it. God is literally with us every moment of every day, every place that we go, no matter what I'm thinking and feeling. That does not change. God with me never changes. And the first person to realize this was Jacob. I don't know if you guys remember, Jacob has this dream. He's sleeping. He's using a stone for his pillow. And he sees this vision of heaven open and angels coming and going freely. And he says, wow, God is with me. There is an open heaven for us. There is access constantly. How awesome is that? Jesus died, the veil is torn, and we can talk to God anytime we want. He can be as near to us as we want him to feel at any moment. And for me, it's easy to remember that when I realize that I need him. Like, for example, in my personal life, when I was in an accident when I was 18, I was 5 hours away from my family, had only been away from my family for the first time in my life for 5 days. And then I'm in an accident. And I knew Jesus was going to have to do something because I was literally all alone and fighting for my life. And I felt Jesus really near. So when we are in a place of desperation or tragedy, it's easy to remember, okay, God is with me because I'm literally all alone, right? I mean, that's how you see people that are not really following the Lord. Don't they start following the Lord when something terrible in their life happens? They're like, well, God's got to do something, you know. He's going to be with me, because that's what we feel in our desperation that we have to remind ourselves of. But how many of you know it's harder to remember that when it's just normal life? Right? When I'm at home and my kids are driving me crazy, it's hard for me to remember God is with me even in this, right? In the small stuff, it's easy sometimes for us to trust God with the big stuff. But it's the little stuff that we struggle with. I remember when I graduated from Elam and I was trying to figure out what college to go to next. I knew, okay, this is a big decision. The Lord is going to have to show me where to go. He's going to have to open a door, right? When Van and I moved from Mountaintop and we had 3 weeks to get out of our house, we knew God is going to open a door somewhere because we have to have somewhere to live. We know he's going to follow through with the big things. But I want to challenge us with today is to remember that Emmanuel, God is with us all the time. Whether it's a big decision coming up that we know he's going to have to do something because he's a good God and he's my father and I can trust him to take care of me. And the little stuff that for me, I struggle with this thing of, I don't want to bother God with that. That's not big enough, right? Isn't that something that our minds just go to? Like, for some reason, I was dealing with this lie this week and I was just telling the Lord, you know, I don't ask you for that stuff because I feel like, well, if you're helping me with that little thing, then you can't go help this person over here with a much bigger problem than me. And the Lord was just like, how big do you think I am? I can't do both at the same time. He has billions of children, and he can take care of them all. I was thinking about this in light of a friend of mine. She has one son, and she looks at me with my four kids, and she's like, you are crazy. She's like, I can't even barely take care of my one. And that's how I feel. Like, I'm like, four is more than enough. How can the God of the universe take care of billions of children? Because he's God, right? Our minds can't fathom that. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. So for me to think God can be with me in every little thing in my life is hard for me to comprehend. It's hard for me to remember because I so easily think, okay, I gotta get through this day today, right? I'm gonna have to do whatever it takes, whether that has to do with your finances or stressful situations, whatever it is. We get into this mentality where we forget and we think we're alone. We think we're walking through something alone. We think we have to be successful alone. We think we have to overcome something in our own strength. Even though in our minds we know, right, God is my strength. God is my helper, ever present in time of need. But we easily forget that because our hearts sometimes feel like we're alone, even though in our minds we know we're not. So I want to share with us and remind us, because this is all stuff we know, right? I just said we know in our minds we're not alone. But let's just look at a picture of where we can remind ourselves that we're not alone and that we are inseparable from Christ. Ephesians 1. If you'd like to turn there with me, you can. You don't have to. It's literally two verses, so maybe by the time you get there, I've already read them. I don't know. I'll give you a minute. Ephesians 1, and this is Paul, obviously, writing his letter to the Ephesians, and he is reminding them, like I am reminding myself and all of us this morning, that we are with God. We are inseparable from him. We are one with him. Okay, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. Okay, it says, he's talking about Jesus. Okay, Paul says, God placed all things, by the way, in this passage, Paul uses the word all a lot, and all is a powerful word if we think about it, right? God placed all things under his feet, talking about Jesus, and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. Who's the church? Usins, yeah. Verse 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, Jesus, who fills everything in every way. So that means the little stuff too. Now let's think about this a minute. Okay, it says Jesus is the head, and who is the body? We are. And then it said God placed everything under Jesus' feet. So if he's the head and we're the body, whose feet is everything under? Ours and his, because we are one. Awesome, right? So everything in my day that feels overwhelming, I can remind myself, you know what? That's under my feet because it's under Jesus' feet. And I am Jesus' feet. I am his body. The other cool thing is, if he is our head, that means we have the mind of Christ, right? Sometimes I don't feel like I have the mind of Christ, right? Don't our thoughts kind of get away from us? Those lies sneak in, or we have distorted thinking, misconstrued ideas, small thinking, like I said, we can't comprehend. And I was thinking about this scripture where it says, sorry, I'm trying not to go strictly off my notes, so I just want to find the scripture only. Oh, here it is. Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while he can be found. Call on him while he's near. And then it says, God, who freely pardons, says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts, God's thoughts, higher than the thoughts of us, right? So if we have the mind of Christ, we don't have to stay in that small thinking. We can have those higher thoughts. We can have our minds focused on the unseen. That's what the word says. Don't set our eyes on the temporary. Set our eyes on the eternal. Don't set your eyes on what is unseen. I mean, set our eyes on what is unseen, not on just what we can see. Because aren't we limited in our thinking, right? We're limited in what we can understand and what we can see. So I love this picture because, like I said, we are one with Christ. He is the head. We are the body. Can the head go over here and the body go over here? No. We're one with Christ. We're connected with him. So if I go to another state, he's with me, right? If I'm in my deepest, darkest place, he's with me. Why? Because he can't leave. He's my head. He's connected to me. We are one. And it says, he fills us completely. So, like our brain, it controls everything in our bodies, doesn't it? If our brain's dead, we're not going to be able to do anything. We can't move, we can't breathe, we can't talk, right? The brain controls everything. If we accept the mind of Christ, which we do at salvation, and we become part of his body, right? It says he fills us completely. Isn't that an awesome picture? No matter how I'm feeling, the truth of the matter is I am filled completely with the Spirit of Christ. I love that verse. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Yes. There's nothing more powerful than that. The power that raised Christ from the dead. We have that power. It lives within us. It is part of us. And no matter how we're feeling, that doesn't change. That power is always there. We always have access to it. Awesome. And so everything is under our feet, just like it's under his feet. We have the fullness of Christ. It's just amazing to me that the Son of God put himself in a place where he wants us to be part of his body. He doesn't have a complete body without us. That is crazy, right? He humbled himself, right? So that we could be part of his body. And it says that we are the fulfillment, the completion, the realization, the consummation of the rest of the body of Christ. It's like a puzzle, right? He's the head, but we're the body. And if we weren't there, Christ would have no body. How crazy is that? Little old me, right? I don't know what I am, if I'm a finger, a big toe, whatever, but I'm part of that body, and so are all of us, all of you. And when we remember this, it makes all the difference. Kind of like this week, I was praying about like what to share today. I said to Japan all week, I'm like, man, I keep asking God, what am I supposed to speak on? What am I supposed to speak on? And I'm not getting anything. And my husband, in all of his wonderful wisdom, said, well, when it's my turn to speak, I don't really ask God what to say. I just meet with God. And if he gives me something, great. But if not, at least we've connected our hearts together. And I know he'll give me something before Sunday. And I was like, well, that sounds great. But I'm a planner, and I kind of would like to know now, you know. But I took his advice, and Friday night, I just was like meeting with God, and I felt closer to God, and then all that anxiety about, gosh, what am I going to speak on left? And I thought, you know what? Just feeling closer to the Lord, I know he's going to give me what to say. And so I feel like that is how it can be with any challenge in our lives. We're like, what am I going to do about this? This bill needs paid. The money's not there. You know, instead of focusing on the seen, I can set my eyes on the unseen and connect my heart with God. Remember, I am one with you, Lord. Whatever this is under my feet. And just allow him to take care of it. I don't have to solve my own problems. Isn't that freeing? I mean, that's hard to remind ourselves of too. We think we're responsible to solve everything. But he's our Father and he wants to take care of us and we are connected. So he's not going to let us fall or fail. So, reminding us of that, it's easy to forget, and we need to remind ourselves of these things sometimes when everything is going great. Like, I just went to Hershey Park all day with my kids. We had an awesome time, and I don't even think about God, right? That's okay. He's still with me, and there's no condemnation. But it's easy to forget that I'm connected with God when I feel like, eh, I got this. Everything's going pretty good. I'm doing all right, right? It's hard. So we need to remind ourselves, you know what, Lord, everything's going great, and just thank him. And out of that thankfulness, we can keep our connection with him. And it can go from being good to awesome, right? He could, like, really lead us to minister to somebody that we meet and just see them healed or see God speak to them or whatever it is, or share with somebody in our life and say, wow, God must have told you to call me. I really needed to hear that. I know that happens to our sister Marty all the time, where God, she's connected with God. And so she hears, oh, I need to call this person. And when she does, they're like, wow, God must have told you to call me, right? So even though we're doing good, we can always be doing great, and we can keep connecting with God. So we remind ourselves when things are going good to stay connected and to remember he's Emmanuel, he's God with me, even in this good stuff. And sometimes for me, the hardest time to remember that he's with me is when I am stressed or overwhelmed, right? Because honestly, like I said, if it's a huge decision and I know it's just way beyond me, then I have no problem remembering God's with me because I'm like, well, I can't do anything. It's out of my control. But if I feel like maybe I could handle it, and then I take it on and I realize it's too much, or it's a little too much, or it's weighing on me heavily, then that's when I forget God's with me. And I need to remind myself. And I love this verse from Isaiah 43. It says, this is what the Lord says, he who created us, right? So he's been with us since before we were born. That's crazy. Our minds can't wrap around that either. He who formed you says, do not fear. I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. He cares about your specific thing. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, they will not sweep you over, right? So no matter what it is, if we're feeling overwhelmed, it's not going to completely knock us over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, because I am the Lord, your God. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He is so personal with us, so specific, right? Like I said, he cares about every little thing in our lives. Why? Because we're his children. He created us from the very beginning, before we even a thought in our parents' minds. He had a plan for you to be born, and that he has a plan for you. No matter how old you are now, there's still stuff that he wants to use you to do, right? So this is something I had to remind myself of, and this verse has really meant a lot to me, because okay, so our third year at Elam was our senior year, because it was a three-year school back then, and they had a week of prophecy. So it had all these prophets come in, and they prayed over all the seniors that were going to graduate that year. And everyone's getting these great words. God's going to take you and do wonderful things with you. Like, my husband got an awesome word about going to the islands, whatever. And then it's my turn. Yeah, I was like, wow, got to marry him. I'll go to the islands. Yeah. Yes. So, and then I get up there and my word is, God's going to bring you through fires. And I was like, what the? Come on! Everyone's getting these great words about how God's going to use them, and I'm like, you're going to go through the fire. I'm like, come on, Lord, I thought you loved me, you know? So, anyway, and then, so the word was that I was going to go through fire relationally, spiritually, geographically, physically, and all of that, like, has happened. It's been a rough, well, we've been married 15 years, so pretty much started right as soon, the week after we got married. So there's that. Not his fault. Yes. Thank you. Not on my fault. It was not his fault at all, actually. The relationships are other relationships. And the geographically, so it ended up that for 8 years where, you know, I thought that a spiritual leader that I was working with was, you know, mentoring me, and came to find out they were using me and that I was being misused in a lot of different ways. And I came out of that and I was like, Lord, the word you gave me that was that I would go through the fire, but that I wouldn't be burned. And I feel pretty scorched right now. You know, do you ever feel like that? You're like, well, you said you'd be with me through the fire, but I'm feeling pretty burned by life and by whatever has happened. You know, a lot of us have been through crap, haven't we? A lot of us, people go through life, you know, we get scars. But when I talked to the Lord about it, and I was like, Lord, you promised me, you know, that I would come out, no smell of smoke. That was what my senior prophecy was. You're going to go through fires, the Lord will be with you, and you'll have no smell of smoke. And I was like, you know, I'm just not feeling that, Lord. And I, you know, I try to be honest with God about these kind of things, because I want to have a real relationship with him. I don't want to just give him lip service. So I was like praying about him, like, Lord, you're going to show me something, because I believe that you are good, and I know life takes us through stuff. So you're going to have to reconcile these two differences for me. And I really felt like what he said was, you know what? Your smell is not the smell of smoke. It's the sweet aroma of a life sacrifice to me. That's what the Bible says. When you lay down your life, it is a sweet sacrifice, a sweet aroma to his nostrils. And I was like, wow, Lord, thank you. Like, that was so healing for me. Because even though we go through stuff and we come out, you know, feeling not like we did when we went in, he was with us the whole time. And I went through a lot of counseling to get healing from what I'd been through. And through the counseling, the Lord showed me where he was. Because I was like, Lord, where were you when all of that stuff was happening to me? And where, you know, I thought you were going to protect me. You know, and sometimes we get that misconceived notion that if we've been through something, the Lord didn't protect us. And I've struggled with that a couple times. First when I was in that accident I was talking about, and this other time whenever I felt like I was used and taken advantage of and everything. And he was just like showing me picture after picture of like, hey, when this phone call happened, I was there. I was covering your ears, Steph, so you wouldn't hear the lies that were being said to you. And I was here with you and you were really upset about this. And so just asking him and being real with him with those hurtful moments, he's able to show us where he was when we were being hurt. And it's so healing to remember, wow, he was with me. He was Emmanuel, God with me, even in that dark, dark time, right? And so just to remind ourselves and to ask him to show us when we can't see where he was. I love how, try to find the scripture that I have for the, it says, sorry, I'm kind of skipping all around in my notes there. I'm trying to share from my heart and not my notes today, which is a little tricky. Okay, well, I can't find the verse that I have. Oh, here it is, Psalm 139. Okay, so Psalm 139 talks about all how he created us, he knows our deepest parts. And then it says, this is the psalmist, he's talking to God. He says, God, where could I go from your spirit? If I rise to the heights, you are there. In the deepest of depths, you are there. Where can I flee from your presence? If I say, surely this darkness is hiding me, and the light has become night around me. Even the darkness is not dark to you, God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So even in your darkest of times, he's in there in the darkness with you. It says, in the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. He is with us. He is walking. And that is such a comfort, isn't it? That he is with us no matter what I'm feeling, no matter how dark my thoughts are, no matter how dark my feelings are, if I'm frustrated, if I'm angry, he's there. And sometimes for me, that darkness isn't even what somebody's done to me. It's my disappointment with myself. Has anybody ever been disappointed with themselves? So that is one of my personality flaws. I am very hard on myself, too hard on myself. Van helps me with that. You know, sometimes he reminds me I'm being too hard on myself. But sometimes, how many of you know, yes, pain and hurt is a dark place, but guilt and shame can be an even darker place, can it? Our souls get into this place where we feel so separated from God. Like, well, how could I be close to God? I mean, I've done this. And we believe that lie. And then the darkness in our thoughts is not the mind of Christ. Because that is that how Christ sees us? No, he still loves us. Even when we've sinned. Even when we've purposely sinned, right? For me, I struggle with that because I'm like, well, of course he could forgive me for, you know, that was a mistake, you know, and I've moved on. I'm doing better in that area now. But what about something where I'm like, I knew I shouldn't have done that and I did it anyway? He still forgives us. He still loves us. He is still our head and we are still his body. We are inseparable because of the cross, right? The blood that flows through the brain is the same blood that flows through the rest of the body, isn't it? The blood of Christ covers us, and it helps us keep that connection. That's why the veil is torn permanently. Not, oh, the curtain's open. You've been great today. You've been making good choices. Come on in. Oh, curtain's closed. You did some pretty bad things today. You know, isn't it great that it's open no matter what, all the time? He wants us to come to him. He wants us to have access to him. And no matter how dark and heavy we feel, all we have to do is say, Jesus, I screwed up. Please forgive me. And instantly that darkness can be gone. That heaviness can be gone. And light can flood our hearts and our minds. And we can feel close to him again. Even though the reality never changed, that I was still connected to God that whole time before I repented or not, now I'm more able to believe it and receive it and acknowledge it and see it. So the great thing about staying connected with God and constantly reminding myself that he is Emmanuel, God with me, no matter what I'm thinking, feeling, doing, and that the fact of the matter is we can't be separated. The awesome thing is, the Bible says if we abide in him and he abides in us and we are one like that, we will bear much fruit, right? It's exciting because it's, you know, it can only get better, right? We can only bear more fruit and grow further and further. And I feel like sometimes we need to remind ourselves, you know, even if I'm just an acorn right now, I'm going to be an oak tree because that is what I am, right? So when we're born, we get a name and it's who we are. It's what we grow into. It's who we become. And for some reason to me, like, names are just so cool and like what their meanings are and whatever. And so my name, my first name, Stephanie, means crowned one, and my middle name means light, Elaine. And so I really felt like the Lord has really used those through my life, where I'm like, okay, I'm a warrior princess. I will tell myself if I'm really struggling, right? I'm Xena, warrior princess. So remind myself of my name. Yes. I could do this with the Lord's strength. I'm going to do it. But my middle name being Light has meant a lot to me too, because I have gone through some really dark times, really dark mental places, and I've struggled. And we've all had times like that. But just to remind ourselves that what he says about us is true, whether we see it right now or not, whether I feel like, okay, he says I'm a butterfly, but right now I just feel like a caterpillar, or I'm still in the chrysalis, I'm not quite there yet, it doesn't matter. He sees us in our finished form. The way he looks at us is in our perfection, in our glory, where our destiny is, our potential, I should say. So that is what he sees when he looks at us, whether it's where we are right now or not. So just to encourage us, we were praying an early morning prayer this morning, and like Marty's word that she shared with us today, he has planted us, he has a plan for us, and nothing is going to stop that from happening. So all we have to do is stay connected to him, and we're going to grow. We can't stay that way forever, right? And then eventually we're going to bear fruit, and then we're going to bear more fruit. All we have to do is remind ourselves, I am one with Christ. And when we're struggling mentally, I have the mind of Christ. I receive your mind, Lord, and just allow him to give you his wisdom, right? So the awesome thing, too, about being connected is that means we have access to everything the Holy Spirit has to offer, right? That power that raised Christ from the dead. So that means he can give me the boldness to reach out to somebody. It means we have the Holy Spirit's anointing on us. Who wants that? We need that. It means that we have discernment, wisdom, knowledge. The women have been studying the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's been really great just to remind ourselves, like, wow, I thought that was just part of my personality. No, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, right? He gives you discernment. He gives you wisdom. He gives you mercy for people. He gives you grace for others, right? So if we remind ourselves and we stay connected to him, we're going to have access to all that he has to offer, all his power. And so I'm just encouraging us, reminding all of us, including myself, to stay connected to him. So we're going to move into communion now. And as we do, we're going to remind ourselves that we are connected to him. And as you take the blood and the body, the bread and the wine, or cranberry juice, just allow the mind of Christ to fill your mind and your heart and to show you that you are connected to him and that he is with you. And just receive that abidingness. We're going to have, Pastor Kurt is going to lead communion, the communion time now. So I'm going to slide this over out of the way.